It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
It sucks getting old and fat, I tell you. I remember when my beard turned white, my wife was like trying to comfort me. Oh, that's okay, honey. I like somebody with a little salt and pepper in their beard. Made me feel a little better. Then she goes, it's the corn in your teeth that's disgusting. I was going to say broccoli, but none of y'all believe I eat broccoli. All right, so I ain't saying that.
Where are you? Shoot, you're in Radiator Springs, the cutest little town in Carburetor County.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. If you haven't figured out by now, those are the voices of Larry the Cable Guy. Once on his bluegrass comedy tour, and then once in the movie Cars. This week, I sit down with Larry the Cable Guy. Actually, I sat down with him a couple of weeks ago at the Invited Celebrity Classic down at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. You will not want to miss my interview with Larry the Cable Guy. That's coming up in a matter of minutes. Want to send out congratulations to the Little Rock women's golf team and the Arkansas women's golf team. Both of them will be competing in the NCAA championships. The Little Rock women will head to College Station and will play at Traditions Club there in College Station, the home of Texas A&M, while the women of Arkansas will head to Las Vegas, where they will compete. They are the 2 seed out in Las Vegas. The top seeds that advance will make it all the way to California in the NCAA championships. It is the first time ever that the Little Rock women will be competing in the NCAA tournament. Good luck to both schools. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of their properties that is close to where your destination is, and go and book it. That's all you need to do. I guarantee you a great experience at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. One of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. I am back after the break with Larry the Cable Guy. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to From the Short Grass. 2 weeks ago, I traveled to Irving, Texas and Las Colinas Country Club for the Invited Celebrity Classic, a PGA Tour Champions event where celebrities play with PGA Tour champions. Well, one of the celebrities I was able to sit down and talk to is Larry the Cable Guy. I think you are really going to enjoy this interview. On the tee, Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. How are you doing?
You know what? I was doing good till I'd come over here. You know, I'm hitting the ball good, putting good. Hey, you got to go do Trey's show. Dadgummit, there goes my game.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know, you've thrown a wrench in more games.
Yeah, I probably have.
No, I'm doing good, feeling good. I'm down 40-something pounds.
How about that?
I played in this tournament last year at 285 pounds, and I'm 248 today.
What's the key?
Heroin. I don't know if you've ever done it before, but it's unbelievable. I mean, 4 weeks. Lost it in 4 weeks. and my house. And no, you know what? I cut out sugar. I quit eating sugar, and I drink a lot of water, and I don't snack after meals, and stomach probiotics.
Okay.
Because my wife is an expert at stomach issues, and I've realized, I've come to realize now that I'm older, that in the United States of America, we eat like garbage, and that we eat all this processed foods, and the government is to, they're responsible for fat people. Because if you look at pictures of the American people in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, there were a lot of thin people. They used to have a club in New York City called the Fat Man Club. And you could not be a part of the Fat Man Club unless you were over 200 pounds.
Really?
So that means pretty much everybody would be in a Fat Man Club. But, you know, but then in the 70s and the 80s, the government started subsidizing and doing all these processed foods and putting all these chemicals in foods. You know, we can make more if we inject with this, and we can do. And now you got a bunch of unhealthy people. And so I've been taking stomach probiotics, and 90% of what's wrong with everybody comes out of the gut. And so if you can clean your gut out of bacterias and parasites, you'll feel better and you'll start losing weight. And that's what I did. I just started cleaning my body out.
Well, congratulations.
And there's, and when you go to the bathroom, I'm not kidding. I was on that for a week. My toilet took a knee. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I got red flagged by the plumbers union. It was, there was stuff coming out of me from 1986. It was unbelievable.
Oh,
there
boy.
Were colors in there. Sherman Williams ain't never heard of. No, but you know what? But that's just a thing. You know, you can, I don't know. I'm just saying that we don't eat good. And when you go to like other countries, like if you put our bread next to bread in Italy, my sister-in-law lives in Italy. You can leave bread out for 2 weeks. Then it starts getting moldy. You leave bread out in Italy after a day and a half, it starts, because it's real stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we try to eat everything from scratch. My wife makes everything from scratch. And
she a good cook?
My wife is, my daughter's a good cook. My wife actually, her meatloaf was on Fear Factor 2 times when that show was popular. That's how she met Joe Rogan. from the bad meatloaf. No, she's a great cook. But anyway, that's how I lost the weight, and I started to really take an inventory of my health, and I wanted to feel better. And so that's what I did.
You're looking great. You're doing a good job. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It is unbelievable how good I look. I shock myself sometimes when I walk down there past a mirror. I'll think, well, who the heck is that? That looks like, that's me. Boy,
that's you.
I'm a good looking guy. I had myself, I was dating myself last night.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Enough of that.
All right. Well, here's what I want to know. When did you first pick up a golf club? When did you fall in love with this game?
I'll tell you when, and it's really cool because he's been a friend of mine forever, and I haven't seen him in a while, Boo Weekly. And Boo got me my first set of clubs.
Did he really?
And the reason is I never liked golf. I hated it. You know, it was, first of all, I couldn't do it. So it got you frustrated. The thing I learned about golf was it was like the DMV. After about an hour, I wanted to punch everybody around me, you know. But I played in a charity event. And I couldn't golf, so I just rode around the golf cart with a megaphone, making fun of people and telling jokes, which was fun. I loved doing that, messing with people and having fun. But, I mean, it lasted 5 hours. It was a program.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, man, I'm running out of material on the 12th hole. And so I said, man, I had to learn how to. So I played in one of Boo's events, and I remember watching Boo on TV, and I'm like, man, if everybody can play golf, I know I play golf. He grew up just like I did, Boo, you know? And so I met Boo, and of course, we hit it off just like that, you know, and so he got me my first set of clubs, got me some hybrids, I think Cleveland hybrids. And then I just started learning how to play golf. And the cool thing is, I get to golf with all these pros, and I sponsor a guy now in the Corn Ferry Tour, Brandon Crick, who's a great golfer out of Nebraska. And so I get on the course instruction almost every week from somebody that is awesome. And I just fell in love with it. And I tell you what, I'm glad I fell in love with it later on in life, or I would not have become successful in comedy, because all I would have done is golf. Because when you like to golf, you're all in.
Yeah.
You know, my handicap's gone down to a 13 in the last 3 years. And it's only cost me $4.5 million through 92 sets of clubs, and
yeah.
And PXG's been real good to me. They always keep me supplied with the best equipment. And now that I'm swinging better and I know how to swing a club, those things are just on fire for me. So,
Larry, have you found a pro that you will go to consistently, or is it kind of like a smorgasbord where you're going to different guys when you're playing with them to try and figure out certain quirks of your game?
It's kind of a smorgasbord of who I'm with, but the fact that I'm with Brandon more than all of them,
yeah.
Brandon's the one that I usually end up going, hey, listen, I was just over with, blah, 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 and he told me I should. He goes, no, he was right, but here's what you're doing wrong. No, you got to take, and then he'll show me how I'm doing it, like I should be doing it.
Yeah.
He'll take what they did and just kind of improve on it for me, because he knows my quirks and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm left-handed, and so he knows all my lefty quirks. He's really good. Brandon's not only a good coach, but he's a good player. And I just kind of learned like that. It's fun, though. I love it.
Doing your comedy, and when you were on the comedy tour, and were you playing then?
No, I didn't start playing golf till about 2010. But that was perfect, because in around 2010, I started doing the History Channel. And so I cut back my dates so I could do the History Channel, because I was on the road 287 days a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Living in a tour bus. My kids grew up in a tour bus. So when I took the History Channel, I went just to weekends. So I'd fly out. It was a lot. I'd fly out on a Monday, and I'd film Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'd do a show on Friday, Saturday. I'd come home on Sunday. I did that for 4 months straight. Then I'd go back into my regular tour, which would be like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But on those days, I was just learning. So since I do work nights, I'd go out on the range in the daytime, and I would learn, and I would work at night. When I was filming History Channel, any chance I had, any break I had, if I had 2 hours off and we were close to a course, I'd just zip over there, and I'd hit some balls, come back, start filming again. In about 2015, I told my wife that I really wanted to slow down, because I didn't want to miss my kids growing up. Jeff Foxworthy was always good at that. He always said, man, here's the deal. If there's one thing I would have done different in my career, is I would not have done some dates when my kids had things. And I did, and I missed some important things. So he says, if you don't need the money and you don't have to take the date, he said, stay home, because you're never going to get these days back. So in about 2015, I said, you know what? My kids, I think, were... at that time, 2015, I think they were, what were they? They were 10, 11, maybe something like that. They're 17, 18 now, or 16, 17 now. So I did. I took 24 shows a year, and I've been at 12 weekends a year ever since about 2015, 16. And now I play plenty of golf. I play about 5 days a week.
Man.
I pick up and play. I play in about six big pro-ams, which I love doing. Pro-ams are fun. And then I'll pick up, like David Wells has a great tournament for the vets down in Florida. I'll go to play David's. I'll go up and I'll play Kurt Gibson's. Mm-hmm. He's got a great deal up there for Parkinson's, and I'll go play Kurt's. I meet these guys along the way, and they're so giving and charitable. And I'll go do stuff like that. That's a lot of fun. I'm actually playing more golf now than I'm doing comedy. It's really pathetic.
Best part of your game, what is it?
Right now, the best part of my game is my short game, my wedges. I got a little deal with a buddy of mine, Jared Keenan. He's a golf pro over by my place. And I'll go up there with him, and he's one of my best friends, and we'll play a best out of seven chipping contest almost every day at some point.
Yeah.
And he, it's first one to seven wins. So we'll take three balls. We each get three balls, and he'll pick a pin, and we just chip. Closest wins. That's point. And we'll do that almost every day. And it's, man, I'm not kidding. It has really helped my short game. So my short game's gotten real good. My driving's gotten so much better. My game's gotten so much better. The problem I have in golf is just the women hounding me for pictures. That's my only problem. You know, I'm getting chased by, it's almost like a Motley Crue out there. I got just everywhere you go, Larry, sign this, sign
that. I mean, you're looking so much more thinner and trimmer now. They're all over you.
I know. No putting. I get nervous, and I have a little tremor in my left hand. I started getting it in my 30s. It's called a febrile tremor. I forget what they call it. And so when I get anxious, it really starts to shake. So I've had to find a stance to put my hand. So I started going right hand low.
Okay.
And if I just take a couple of deep breaths and calm down, take my time, I'm good. But if I'm rushing it, I'm not going to putt good. It's like we went out pro-am yesterday. The first nine holes, I think I three-putted everything. And then the last nine, I said, man, this is stupid. I just calmed down and I took breaths. And I think I had 4-1 putts and 3-2 putts.
There you go.
I ended up shooting an 85, and that's how good my irons were that day. I was hitting some greens pretty good.
But I think you told our listeners a little tip about how to work on your short game and make it better is to make it fun.
You got to make it fun, absolutely. And that's what we do. And sometimes, and my irons have gotten better because we do the same thing out on the range. We'll pick a hole, and there'll be like three of my buddies out there, and then we'll just have a par three tournament out on the course, out on the driving range, you know, just to make it fun. But here's the thing about golf. Unless you're born with natural talent and you just walk up and you're like, I got a buddy of mine in Florida. You know, we took him with us to play Iowerth. And he used to play in college, but he hadn't picked up a club in 20 years.
It was like riding a bike, wasn't it?
He shot 3-under par at Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, man, some people just got it. But if you're just a regular guy like me, you still got to hit balls. You can't just expect to pick. That's why I don't get mad anymore. Throw a club. You know, you start doing that, and I see people yelling and cussing and throwing clubs. It's like, look, you got to play golf to get good. You can't just pick up a club once a week and think you're going to be Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
So it definitely takes time. If you work nights, golf's a good sport for you.
No doubt about
unless
that.
Unless you live in somewhere where you got a lighted a lighted golf course somewhere and a wife that doesn't want you around.
A wife that doesn't want you around. That's a good line there. Are you the best comedian golfer?
Not at all. No, there's a lot of comedians that play great golf. You know, I'm trying to get better. But no, Nate Bargatze, he's a really good golfer. He's a funny guy. But I will say, Nate and I played. He's going to get mad because I said this. But Nate and I played one time, and I had just switched to right hand low. You know how when you're on, you're on? I wasn't missing any putts, and I beat Nate by like 3 strokes.
That's what I'm talking
about. He was like, man, you're pretty good. They told me you weren't that good. So, no, there's a ton of really good golfers out there that are comedians. So,
do you watch the game much?
I do. I love watching it now. I love sitting in my house, and I love it when it goes to a playoff because every shot matters. I don't know how people can think golf is boring. I guess if you don't play golf, you would consider it boring, because I did when I didn't play golf. But watching a good golf shot, I even like watching the bad shots, because then you know, hey, they do it too. That's the cool thing about playing with these guys, because you'll see them hit people. you'll see him shank one, and you're like, they do shank. So I'm on, you know. But no, I love watching it now. I don't think there's seriously. I don't think there's any sport more exciting than going to the last two holes, and they're either tied or one of them's down one. That's exciting to me. Now that I play golf, you know.
Seeing them with a little pressure. All right, more pressure for you. Getting on stage in front of a microphone or hitting a first tee shot?
Hitting a first tee shot. That's that's easy right there. I don't even have to think about that. I mean, comedy. I mean, I did 53,000 in the Lincoln Memorial Stadium, and I was nervous. I mean, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe. I get on stage, first joke, laugh, boom, off to the races. Didn't even think about it. Out there, the first couple holes, it stays with you till you get about, you get out there a little ways.
Yeah.
then you're good. But I'll never forget, and God rest his soul, but Toby was a buddy of mine, and Toby had a golf course down there in Oklahoma. Toby wasn't a bad golfer. But, man, his first year at Pebble Beach, he came out there, and I was old hat, you know. I'd done 9 years in a row, and
yeah.
Toby came out there, and we're doing the challenge thing, the six-hole charity deal out there. And so me and Toby, we're on Clint Eastwood's team. And Toby went up there. They said his name, and he went up and put his ball on his tee. He was shaking so bad. It literally took him 15 seconds to put the ball. Kept falling off the tee.
No.
Then he turns around, and he comes up to me, and he real low, he goes, man, I've never been so nervous in my life. It's ridiculous. And the first shot, duck hooked it right above everybody's heads. And you never seen that from Toby, because Toby was a pretty good golfer.
What a loss, though. What a talent he was.
Oh, I know. It's a shame. He had a lot of good friends out there. Toby was very kind, very giving. He and I had good times together. You know, here's a really cool story. Do I got time for this?
Yeah.
So I did Toby's Big Dog Daddy tour. He called me up and he says, hey, I want to shoot a 3.5 minute mock movie trailer. Big Dog Daddy and Possum Boy. He says, you want to be Possum Boy? I said, yeah, where are we filming it at? And he told me, I said, yeah, all right, I'll do it. So I flew up there, and I didn't ask for anything. I was just, you know, Toby was always kind to me. I'll go up and do it for Toby. Plus, it'd be kind of cool. Me and Toby and a little thing together. They're going to show it before every concert. It's good for me. So I went up, and I taped it, and we had a great time all day. We tape. It's on YouTube. Big Dog Daddy and Possum Boy. Check
all right.
It. It's really a funny
movie. Check it out.
It's a funny movie trailer. And so anyway, I didn't know this, but he went over to Ford. Ford was the sponsor of it. And somebody told me that Toby went over to the Ford guy. He sat down there during one of, I was filming something, and he sat down next to me and goes, hey, I just want to let you guys know that Larry the Cable Guy is on the road constantly, and he's doing them anywhere from 10 to 12,000 people a night. And he drives a Dodge truck, and he talks about his Dodge truck on stage. So it might behoove you to get that boy in a Ford truck. I didn't know he did that. I get a call about a month later from Ford, go, come on up and get, you want a truck? We're going to pay. I said, yeah, really? I said, well, all right. Can I get two? I said, because I got a place in Nebraska, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to drive that thing back and forth. I got two of them.
There you go.
And
yeah.
I took it over to my buddy in Mims, Florida. My buddy Randy lifted it, and I customed them both out. And that's and I'm never going to get rid of them. Those are my Toby Keith Ford trucks. And I'm never going to get rid of them. I gave one of them to my buddy Jerry, who works for me, and then I got the other one. But I always got that to remember Toby by. Got
to ask you real quick about Tomater in the movie Cars.
Just like Tomater without the tuh. Shoot, shoot, Sheriff, hold it. Yeah, that's amazing. Very blessed to be able to do that. Never saw it coming. They sent me a fax in 2002. And 2002, 2003 said they wanted me to voice their town tow truck. And I'm like, what does this mean? When do I have to audition? And my manager like, you don't got to audition. They want you to do it. I said, I don't got to audition. They said, no. I said, well, all right.
Yeah.
So I went out there, and John Lasseter was so kind to me, and all the people at Pixar, they were just real professional, super kind. I mean, I loved it. He showed me around. I mean, that place is insane. I was nervous. We went in there, and this is a funny quick story. We go in there, and we're about to tape, And Darla Anderson is there, and she's the assistant director, and John's in the booth, and you got the animators behind a glass screen watching and kind of sketching stuff. And, oh, man, I mean, I'm from a town of 1,200. I grew up on a pig farm in southeast Nebraska. I'm a stupid comedian doing one-liners. This is crazy. And I'm nervous. He says, don't be nervous. You know, just be you, man. Mater's you. Just be you. I'm like, okay. And so my first line ever was, hey, my name's Mater, like Tom Mater without the tuh. I did that, and he started laughing. He's like, oh, I just kind of clapped. This is going to be good. Well, anyway, he said, we'll make you do it a lot of times because we like to get different inflections, so don't think you're doing bad. I said, okay. And I think at the time, Mater had maybe, I don't know, 21, 25 lines maybe, just a small-town tow truck. Maybe, yeah, 25 lines, I think, something like that. So I go home, and then I go back to touring. I mean, I'm heavy touring, you know. And then I ain't heard from him in 6 months. 7 months go by, nothing. So I call my manager, and I go, hey, I got to ask you something. Whatever happened to that cartoon idea? I ain't heard from them. You'd think I'd heard some.
Right.
Or do some touch-up work. Or he goes, yeah, I ain't heard from them either. He goes, you know what, let me call him up, see what's going on. I says, all right, and I'm dejected. Now I'm dejected. I go, they didn't like it. They didn't like it. I guarantee you they didn't like it. That's why I ain't heard from. So he calls me up and he goes, hey, listen, are you sitting down? I go, oh, man. Did they fire me? This would be discouraging. He goes, not only did they not fire you, but we haven't heard from them for a while because they told me that John Lasseter fell in love with Mater and he's the heart and soul of this movie. And so they're literally in the writing room rewriting parts of the movie to put more Mater in the movie.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
That is awesome.
I hit the ceiling. I was so happy. And then I ended up going back out there six times, 4 hour sessions each time. And then in the second one, I went out and stayed in John Lasseter's guest house, me and my wife, and was part of his family for a week. I mean, it was the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome. Okay, real quick. Best golf course you've ever played?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many good ones that I play on that I love, and I hate leaving people out of it. They're all different, and they're all awesome. I would say just the ones where they don't have – because when you have tournaments, like this is a great course. I mean, I would say I love Edgewood in Tahoe. Just – it's so beautiful. I think the most manicured courses I've ever been on was the Wynn in Vegas.
Yeah.
Is just unbelievable. And the Quarry in La Quinta was unbelievable. But as far as, I mean, every course is so awesome. And so Iowerth is insane. Nebraska's got great courses. You got Arbor Links. You got an old Hillcrest. You got Fire. I mean, Nebraska's underrated for golf courses.
I think it is, too.
You know, we got the number 9 course in the world out at Sandhills. But not only that, you got Prairie Club that has a replica Sandhills, and then you got another course with it, and then right down the road you got Cat. It's very underrated, but there's so many courses that I like. I don't want to leave anybody out, but probably Tahoe. That place is unbelievable.
Last question: you and three others, living or deceased, a fantasy foursome you'd like to play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Oh my gosh, a fantasy foursome,
like anybody?
Yeah,
living or deceased.
Okay, me, Ronald Reagan, Arnie, and John Wayne.
There you go.
That'd be a fun foursome right there.
Yes, that would.
Boy, I would just shut up and listen to the stories.
I don't believe that.
I might say something.
Larry the Cable Guy, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate it. And hope I make the cut. I got to beat 10 people, so I'm really concentrating on beating 10 people.
So you have to.
I have to get her done. I'll do it too.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That's it for this edition of From the Shoregrass. I want to thank Larry the Cable Guy for the time sitting down with me. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you soon from the Shoregrass.
You've been listening to From the Shoregrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.